unlimited power!
No. Hi, everybody. I'm Jim.
I'm Ryan.
And this is the Concept Crucible Podcast.
And today we're going to talk about something that
is unique to millennials.
Yeah, I feel like it is. And it's something that, I mean, I only noticed it becoming a thing, say, in the last 5 years. But that's only because my age cohort started to deal with these unique problems, a.k.a. we started graduating from student life and into the real world. The real world, such as it is.
In quotes, as though school is some sort of mystical place.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is, in some sense, because once you leave there, you enter the world of adulting.
I would make an argument that people in university are still adults. I think that
I think they're adults in paper, or on paper, like they can vote and they can do all sorts of stuff like that. They're usually responsible for filing taxes. But the consequences of being autonomous is not equally felt by everybody.
I would also make an argument that the consequences of being autonomous is not equally felt by anybody at any age.
Fair.
But that is perhaps an argument for a different podcast. But yeah, it's I don't know. I think of adulting in the sort of, I guess, classical millennial way, and this is the first and last time I'll ever use that phrase. But as like all of the bits of being responsible for yourself that you don't want to do, like more often than not, like it's the bits where, you know, you're like, I can't, you know, these are responsibilities I can't ignore. Or not even responsibilities, but just tedium.
Or, yeah, the kind of background things that are not crises until they're crises. So, for example, when was the last time you went to the dentist? When was the last time you made an appointment to see the doctor?
When was the last time you had the money to go see the dentist?
Did your parents take care of that? Did they have insurance? Find out next time when we talk about, or actually it's this time, adulting.
Yeah, I suppose. I think that you and I have different conceptions of it, which I think is going to shake out a bit.
Yeah.
But we should start with our icebreaker.
Yeah.
What is the most embarrassing, like, straightforwardly grown-up adult thing that you do? Where like, it is so, like, bullshit, grown-up, tedious, but you do it, and you're embarrassed by it.
Embarrassed might be a little strong. Like, I'm perfectly fine to admit that I do this, but it's kind of one of those BS things. I started doing it in January. I started to feel tired about feeling tired all the time.
Fair.
And, like, I mean, in the context of
The mammoth Huckle quantified self.
Yeah, in the context of September through December, you know, doing the three job thing and whatnot, I realized that I was tired of feeling exhausted or in a perpetual state of being exhausted, and so I started to be more mindful of sleep, started to be more ambitious about early to bed, early to rise kind of thing. The quantified self, so I started tracking my sleep. But I mean, that's largely helpful with the Fitbit. So I track sleep. I'm just in the middle of a rough quarterly sleep analysis. And the early to bed thing helps out when I rise early and I help Sarah out the door, that I have an hour to myself to read books. At one point I was doing some light Coursera work trying to learn calculus, exercising in the morning, all those things to kind of set up my day for success, all before showering and going to work. So it's not quite embarrassing, but relative to how I used to be of roll out of bed and just, you know, do the thing, whether or not I brush my teeth or not. Okay, I guess an embarrassing thing is, like, for a good 10-year stretch, I didn't brush my teeth in the morning.
Not until
Sarah's like, I refuse to kiss you if you don't brush your teeth every morning. I would just pop in a piece of gum and
go, terrible demon
and,
man.
Yeah, and go to work or go to school. So Yeah, I guess that's more embarrassing than the sleep thing, but anyways, that's my embarrassing adult thing that I do.
I don't know. I think I have two answers to this.
Whoa, how huckle of you.
Yeah, right? It'd be easier if I could remember what my second one was, but I got distracted by the fact that you're for a decade, you were a monster who didn't brush their teeth in the morning.
Yep.
My first answer is like, I am embarrassed by the amount of sanity that I regain by putting my laundry away. Like, I will stay up late. Like, I will stay up late doing whatever. Then I will stay up additionally late purely to put my laundry away.
The life-changing magic of tidying up your laundry.
Like, if my laundry has been sitting out in a laundry basket for 4 days, I am mortified. I assume that the rest of my life is in an equal shambles. And like, there will simply be no saving it unless I put my laundry away. Like, as someone who for a long time was content to just like leave that out of the laundry basket, mm-hmm. I have no idea what prompted this change. Mm-hmm. I didn't even get a new dresser or anything. I see it and I stare at it, mm-hmm. and I'm like, and it represents all of the slovenliness of my being. Mm-hmm. And it must be put in order. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's my, like, my stay up late one night thing. It's just, I will stay up late putting away my laundry. Mm-hmm. Like a square. I can't remember what my second thing was. I promise you it was really funny, but cannot remember. But it was equally embarrassing. I know that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think of adulting as the, and we maybe talked about a bit about this in the preventative maintenance episode. Mm-hmm. In as the pieces of life that happen in between everything else, but that are also the pieces of life that, like, make a lot of other things possible. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you mentioned doing your taxes. I would file things like budgeting in there.
Yeah.
Is, like, it's not fun. It's not, you know, you're very rarely, you're like, do you, like, brag to your friends? You're like, I put together the fucking sickest budget. Last night.
I don't know, sometimes.
Let me tell you.
Some of the circles that I run with.
Let me tell you. Oh, I remember what my second thing was.
Oh. Wait, your weird budget?
No. It's worse than that. It's way worse than that. I remember the moment I realized I was a grown-up. A friend of mine had just gotten married. And we were talking in a pub. And he had gotten a vacuum cleaner, mm-hmm. for his wedding. It was a Dyson. And I remember remarking, oh, that's a good vacuum cleaner. Yeah. That's like, you're going to get some serious time out of that. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to vacuum. And it stopped for a moment. I'm like, we are not talking about video games, politics, or, you know, relationship. We're talking excitedly about a vacuum cleaner. Where did we go wrong?
To be fair, it's a Dyson. Dysons are good quality.
No, that's not the point. The point is,
it's well engineered.
Who cares?
You can appreciate the beauty of its engineering.
No, also Dyson, if you want to send us money, go for it. Or several vacuum cleaners.
Oh, one vacuum cleaner alone. That's what, like $500? That's a lot of
money. I regret every part of this conversation.
Come on, bagless technology. Whirlwind technology.
Please, God, make this stop. Anyway,
HEPA filters.
Yeah, how we sort of categorize adulthood and like what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that it comes with an increase in responsibility.
Yeah,
I think that, like, we are you know, like we are responsible for the same kinds of things basically all the time. I think that it comes with more attention to that tedium, and the idea that paying that attention and being mindful of that mm-hmm. has side effects. And like relatively positive side effects.
Yeah.
And part of that I think has to do with, you know, the notion of planning for the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think part of it is at least for me and others in a similar position to me, the transition to adulting, so to speak, comes with that final hurdle where, with that, especially with the tedium stuff, that nobody else is going to take care of it for you. I mean, you could farm it out and pay somebody else to take care of stuff. But it finally comes to head that...
You did your laundry in university, man.
I mean, I did my laundry. That was fine. I did my laundry straight from the start, like the get-go. I mean, I would bring it home with me, but I'd still usually do it. Well, it had to be done if I went home.
Fair.
It didn't get done. But I guess, like, for example, when my folks stopped monitoring my bank account to ensure that it needed to be topped up for groceries or whatever. You know, like, that nobody was monitoring my bank account, so to speak.
I'm currently in awe of your middle-class lifestyle.
Yeah, no, I didn't, like...
It is not something I have any experience with.
Yeah, like, because my father co-signed on my student loans with the bank and stuff like that. They had access to my bank accounts and stuff, so it wasn't really until the middle... Actually, here's an embarrassing one. It wasn't until probably grad school of when I finally found out how to log into the online account.
Hmm.
I just didn't know how to do it, and then finally figured it out. And then that was the easiest way for me to memorize what my debit card number was.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. Maybe it comes from the fact that we apparently have vastly different, more different lives than I suspected.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't think of it as an increase in responsibility so much as an increase in mindfulness, and being mindful of different things, like when. It was just me, and I had classes, and I didn't have any structure of my time or anything like that. I didn't care as much
mm-hmm.
if my shit was a mess,
mm-hmm.
and now I do.
Because
I do that thing where I, like, clean before people come over,
mm-hmm.
Which is also, I think, like, a straightforwardly bullshit adult thing to do.
Because
I definitely recall having people over when I was in university and being like, I don't fucking care. This is my life deal.
Yeah. Well, I think it's not an increase in responsibility, but the consequences, like you have to in some sense own the consequences, right?
I don't know. I think maybe you're right in the sense that
like you have to deal with the consequences. We assume
that and I think that there's like that seems really broad, but I maybe the acknowledgement that, you know, this is not temporary.
Mm-hmm.
This is not you're you know, this is not a transitional period.
Mm-hmm.
This is the rest of forever.
Mm-hmm.
And realistically, every moment is the rest of forever. But it's hard to think about it that way.
Yeah.
I would articulate it as I would articulate now many things, as the distinction between light bulbs and batteries. For glory and honor.
Mm-hmm.
Molly Ostertag in Strong Female Protagonist wrote about it, and it's a super good comic, and I will link it in the show notes. But it's the idea that batteries do way more for us than light bulbs. But we all know about Edison and Tesla and the light bulb and all that. Who invented the battery? I actually legit don't know. I didn't think of this analogy until...
Mm-hmm.
Or to reference the analogy until we were already recording and I didn't look it up.
Mm-hmm.
But batteries are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And batteries are honorable. That work happens in sort of silence. In the same way that adulting work, like, pays off. Like, it pays to have a clean apartment in the sense of, you know, it generally, like, for me, it generally helps my peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
I can find stuff when I'm looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
When I have guests, I have better feelings about it, and that I think has more to do with my self-consciousness than it does with any sort of, you know, empirical fact. Mm-hmm. But insofar as it helps my self-consciousness, that seems useful. Mm-hmm. Budgeting and things like that are important because it means that, you know, if I need money, I am more likely to have it. Mm-hmm. You know, if I make good frugal decisions, which I do not always do, mm-hmm. But I am more likely to abide by that if I have some kind of plan.
Yeah, it's orientating towards future potential.
Yeah.
Rather than, I mean, like it's, yeah, like it's
I am, done. I am going to need this money next month, mm-hmm. Or the month after, or the month after that, or 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. You know, being an adult's when you start talking about insurance. Mm-hmm. Fuck.
Yeah, when you're adulting, life is in order, and you keep tinkering with it to keep it going. But when you stop it, you know, it kind of. It stops, but I don't know. It just reminds me, for some reason, when you were talking, it popped into mind this kind of goofy analogy of, and we talked about, or I brought this example up, you know, last week. American nuclear reactors and Russian nuclear reactors, the stereotypes from the Cold War of, mm-hmm. In an American nuclear reactor, you keep going on maintenance to keep it operational, otherwise it shuts down. But in a Russian nuclear reactor, you keep maintenance going to stop it from blowing up. Like, it's mm-hmm. the different end states of it. You know, a well-structured adult life, you keep it going so that it doesn't stop, as opposed to, like, when you're out of control, you're just doing everything you can to keep it from exploding.
Yeah, and I think that, I don't know, I think that there's room for both kinds of life. Mm-hmm. I've definitely been in both positions. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that either one of them is sort of exclusively adult, but yeah, there's definitely a revision of priorities, one might say. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, ultimately, we made a note at the bottom of the show notes for this that I think sums up everything here, which is situations are always more complex than any advice allows for.
Yeah. Let's not kid ourselves that we can distill adulting down and have some sort of meaningful advice for it, yeah, in one podcast.
I don't know. I just like to think about it as yeah, the little bits of, not just the little bits of maintenance that I do on my life, mm-hmm. but the ways in which doing that maintenance changes my thinking. Like the ways in which you start you know, trying to fix your car instead of running it into the ground with the knowledge that you will get another car that you run into the ground. Mm-hmm. It is the notion that some things are permanent, and that includes tedium. Mm-hmm. You know, that includes honorable work. Mm-hmm. You know, I will presumably be putting my laundry away for the rest of ever, and that seems perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. And I find embarrassing amounts of happiness in it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you should be embarrassed by that.
Regardless of whether I should be embarrassed by it, I am.
Okay.
I mean, as opposed to, you know, being awed by the MLG level strats that I have developed, mm-hmm. in the time that I would have spent putting away my laundry. I instead, like, parcel out that 10 minutes or whatever, mm-hmm. to just fold my clothing and put it away in an act of what can only be described as bourgeoisie decadence.
Are you the kind of person that takes a shirt and then folds it in half lengthwise, tucks in the sleeves, and then folds it in half again? Or are you the person that tri-folds before folding lengthwise?
I will be honest, I have never put that much thought into it.
Oh, okay. Well, how do you fold your shirts?
I fold in the little sleevey bits,
yeah,
and then I fold it over on itself a couple of times, and I put it in a pile with a bunch of shirts that look like it.
Ah, I see.
Spoilers, I own a lot of green shirts.
Well, I mean, we've been kind of talking about adulting in a general sense in terms of like negatives and positives, or at least, you know, kind of trying to describe what it is. But when we were doing the pre-show for this, it reminded me of a phrase, and I've been writing it down in my journal for the last couple months in terms of tending the garden. You know, and adulting and tedium and whatnot tends to kind of be analogous to garden. Like, if you want to have a beautiful garden, or if you want to have specific kinds of outcomes or flowers in the garden or vegetables or whatever, you know, you have to lay down the foundations for it, and then you have to continuously maintain it, watering, weeding, and whatnot.
I dig it. Gardening sucks.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you know what? Sarah said the same thing this morning when we were talking about the potential future house that we might move into.
It's because gardening sucks.
And I said that I'm looking forward to potentially gardening, sure, but I'm going to have to lose some, you know, work, for example, in order to have more time to do
it. Yeah, it sucks in the sense, like, I know lots of people who enjoy gardening. I have, at times, enjoyed gardening. Mm-hmm. But gardening is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And anybody who tells you it's easy is lying.
It's expensive.
No, because people will always tell you it's easy. People who are good at gardening, it's like, they'll be like, oh, no, it's totally fine. All you have to do is, like, dig and mulch and water and seed and then water and then mulch and then a bunch of other things that I used to know the words for, because I used to be a landscaper. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of work. But the result is that, yeah, you get this sort of, like, you get this thing that isn't just pretty. It isn't just functional, like, depending on the kind of garden you want. Mm-hmm. But it is yours. It reflects who you are, reflects the work that you put into it.
It's something you can enjoy.
It also reflects the sort of situation that it exists in. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are catastrophes that can happen to gardens. Mm-hmm. There are, you know, like rainstorms, windstorms, that kind of thing. Snow can do a number on it. Construction, pollution. There are also, like, all kinds of boons that gardens experience. Like, there is a sense in which that garden metaphor goes real far. Mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of what it means to, I think, achieve an outcome that is intentional. Mm-hmm. And part of that is rolling with those punches, and, you know, whether those punches are, you don't have time to deal with your garden right now, mm-hmm, or whether those punches are, you know, someone accidentally dumped a backhoe into it when they shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. And I think what that translates to in terms of adulting, in terms of God, every time I say the word adulting, it sounds stupider. I realize it's the title of the podcast. It's sitting right above me. But yeah. In terms of being autonomous and planning for your future, is the importance of, you know, building healthy relationships with the people and objects in your life. Mm-hmm. And I think that does come with it, with the idea that it isn't temporary. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things that is true about university, more often than not, and we do, I think, segregate student life and post-university life, mm-hmm, post-college life, or whatever, as that division, mm-hmm, which seems weird, because you're like a fully cognizant adult, you're doing lots of grown-up things, you've got to run your own bills, and et cetera, look after yourself. But it's... university is transitory. It's like a very educational airport. Like, mm-hmm, you are there to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And so is everyone that you know. Mm-hmm. In that context, they're looking to move on. Mm-hmm. And then you get out, and you're now, for the most part, there, wherever there happens to be. Mm-hmm. You know, you're still like there's still a journey involved in it, but it isn't as transitory as something like university. Mm-hmm. And it also means that the people around you aren't, you know, at the end of the year, they aren't just going to disappear. they're going to be around forever, maybe. And I think that that becomes really important. I say this not having a whole lot of experience with it, having gone to university in the same town that I live in.
Yeah, I guess I know that... How would be the best way to describe this analogy? Probably because I did Army Cadets and whatnot, and there was always that belief that you're going to stay in touch with everybody, you know, all throughout.
Oh, the summer camp.
The summer camp friends, you know, people who go on. It's the same deal with people who go on cruises, and you happen to find the one other Canadian couple there, and you bond over the fact that that's the only thing you have in common is you both happen to be Canadian in a foreign situation.
Being on a cruise.
No, I've never.
Okay, because this sounds like an elaborate cruise fantasy.
No, it's just my parents have, and they talk about their friends from Canada, and I'm okay. Like, yeah, do you still talk to them? No, and that's one of the things that I learned from Army Cadets and everything else is you get exposed to a lot of people, and you get forced into a lot of interesting, fantastic situations, and then you go away, and only a very small percentage of that carries on into your life. And I think university is the same deal. You meet a lot of interesting people. A relatively small amount will still be there long periods afterwards in the same meaningful sense, in the same meaningful way.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about, you know, the people that come and go from your life or lives. But yes, tending the garden.
Yeah. So I mean, in that context, building healthy relationships with people and thinking of those as long-term relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a lot of long-term friendships that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. I have the good fortune of meeting a lot of people and I think I've said this before, where I think, you know, if I do right by this person, they will not only be my friend forever,
mm-hmm.
they will be a friend worth having forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me really happy.
Yeah. In some sense, you're planting a quality plant. You're investing in a good quality thing that you want to nurture over time.
I don't know. I think that I don't know that I think of it as me gardening that relationship so much as them gardening me.
Mm-hmm.
I am quietly planting myself in their garden.
That makes you sound like an invasive people seed.
Yeah, basically. I am an invasive species.
I see.
I'm like a weed.
Yep. A useful weed.
Sure. And I mean, that also means, I mean, not just in the sense of having like thinking about long-term relationships with people, but also with objects, I think. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of relationships with objects, with my computers and, you know, my studio equipment and even just like stupid pieces of furniture and whatnot, where I'm like, I look at something and I'm like, how long am I going to have this? You know, the I think the thing always comes when you're like, am I going to move with this?
Mm-hmm.
or not? And it would, and if the answer is no, why would I get it in the first place?
That is why you buy high quality items like a Dyson.
No.
Preventative maintenance, ongoing care, it will never let you down.
Why are we still talking about vacuum cleaners?
Because that is what adults do. We create podcasts, and we tend to gardens, and we talk about Dyson vacuum cleaners.
Please help me.
This podcast brought to you by Dyson.
They didn't pay us.
They didn't pay us.
God. No, I mean, I think the other awful boring thing about being adults is having a budget and living in it and having a budget that sort of grows and adapts and... budgets can either be glorious or torturous. I have lived through both.
Mm-hmm.
We're not about to offer a bunch of budgeting advice because budgeting is deeply situational.
Yep.
But we will throw some links in the show notes if that's a thing you're into.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I think the larger thing, and you wrote this note in the free show notes,
mm-hmm.
is... planting trees.
Yeah.
Like, to further extend this gardening metaphor.
Yeah. Now, this, I stole this from, it's a Greek proverb. I'm going to change it to be a little bit more inclusive. But the proverb is basically, society grows great when people plant trees under whose shade they won't sit.
So that is not where I was going with that, but I'm excited.
Well, that's what I wrote down for the plant trees bit, is the idea that you lay down good quality stuff for the future, even if it's not something that you're going to directly benefit from.
I guess, yeah. And that's where we get into the bits of being an adult that involve being responsible and accountable to a community.
Mm-hmm. Or the future.
Being part of things. But I'm even just thinking of planting trees in the sense of flowers are also seasonal. Like, if we want to really just squeeze that gardening metaphor for everything it's worth, what you really want to plant are trees. You want to plant things that are going to last regardless of season, regardless of how the wind changes, mm-hmm. and that are going to grow stronger and stronger with time. And how we do that is, I think, the exact same way that you garden. Not by throwing water on your friends, but with care, with mindfulness, mm-hmm. and maybe with the recognition that, not all trees grow the way we need them to. Mm-hmm. We talked a bunch about building relationships, but there is also, like, for all of the people I have in my life, there are a lot of people I have left behind.
Yeah. Well, sometimes
and similarly, there are people who have left me behind.
Well, and just there are sometimes again with the tree metaphor, some trees grow faster and their shade ends up choking out other smaller trees that, need that light as well.
I think this metaphor is literally dead. I think that we've taken it as far as we can. Yeah, I've definitely had that conversation where people and I grow apart, or we're like, actually, maybe we don't want to hang out anymore. And there are lots of different versions of that conversation.
Time to harvest our friends.
What?
Cut down those trees.
What?
Dyson.
Fuck. I hate you.
You can't hate a good product.
I double hate you. We were talking about something serious and
I'm
and
sorry, yes.
Building things that grow stronger over time.
Yes.
Here we are.
Anti-fragility. To quote Taleb.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that in some ways codifying it is weird, but it is sort of one of those things that I think about when I meet new people and when I start doing things with new people. Mm-hmm. Is like, how does this fit in with the rest of my life? Not just like, the 70 to 10,000 years that I have stretching out ahead of me, but like all of my other priorities, mm-hmm. and where that sits. And that, I think, is a really silly and weird way to think about it, but it is the way that I do it, because I haven't thought of anything better. If you have something better, you should leave in the comments.
I think it's sufficient to say that for as much as we hate that adulting is a thing, or at least it's become a thing, It's something that requires, intentionality. It requires work, and it's not something that we have easy answers for.
And also, there are lots of people who will say that what we think of now as adulting is what was classically known as being alive. Mm-hmm. That is definitely the mark of sort of older generations, I think, mm-hmm. Who quite plainly don't deal with the same kinds of pressures. Mm-hmm. Like economic pressures, environmental pressures. Mm-hmm. But also, it just sort of fails to take into account that things that are done deliberately often turn out better. Mm-hmm. Like, things that are done with care, mm-hmm. shockingly, have a tendency to work out. And then that is for good reasons. So it is weird to hear people who who discount it, mm-hmm. when we know that doing things deliberately, doing things with care, doing things while having a plan, even if that is a plan that needs to change all the time, mm-hmm. is better than just going, "Welp, wing it." Mm-hmm. Although, there's always a certain amount of room for winging it. So, yeah. This one got really weird.
It did get really weird.
Also, because you wouldn't stop talking about vacuum cleaners.
Yeah, there was... You were talking there right at the end, and I was honestly about to jump in about the Dyson, but I didn't want to derail the point you were trying to make.
So you're doing it now instead. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I had to wait until the very end to bring it back in.
Oh. Anyway.
We have two Dysons at home, by the way.
God! The decadence! Could you not spare one?
Well, it's a stand-up one, and then...
No, I don't even care. Stop talking about your vacuum cleaner.
The battery one.
Oh, God.
We needed it for the dog hair.
What are you even going to do when you get married? No one will be able to give you a vacuum cleaner, because you already have two perfect vacuum cleaners.
Yeah, pretty much, because they're good quality. You don't have to get rid of them. Christ. No bags.
Oh, anyway. You can leave us comments about adulting, and we will chat with you. You can find us on... Twitter and on our website and on Facebook and now on our brand new Patreon, mm-hmm. So you can help us make more quality vacuum cleaner related content.
Yes, because Dyson is stingy and will not give us any money.
Yeah, that. Anyway, so yeah, we look forward to chatting with you and generally hanging out and talking about the varying. Honorable challenges of our lives. Mm-hmm. He's so much. I'm Jim.
I'm Ryan.
And we're signing off.
Stay awesome. I just went to a whole new troll level.
That went to a whole weird place that I'm not really prepared to deal with.